Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
It feels to me like it is over, and I think his behavior is indicative of that. Not to make too much out of it, but he basically took a week off during the bye week, and he's entitled to have his own private life. We've said that repeatedly here, but I've never heard of a coach in big-time college football to do something like that. Maybe take an afternoon off to play golf during the bye week, but not go on vacation. So to me, he has checked out. The play on the field has checked out. His coaching has been abysmal. And I think Bill Belichick would be wise to walk out now before the humiliation gets any worse.
Paul Feinbaum, who previously has said Bill Belichick's going down the road of being the worst coach in the history of college football. I kind of pushed back on that when he initially said that. I'm not really pushing back anymore, because if you're fired at 2-3 and the two were not FCS, I mean, they were FCS games, not FBS games, and you never actually win a true 1A football game, you probably are the worst coach in the history of college football, or at least the least successful, because I know people like to paint him as he may not be the best coach in the history of pro football, but he's the most successful. Okay, so let's use that barometer. He's the most successful coach in the history of professional football. He's going to be the least successful coach in the history of college football if he's fired at 2-3 and never won a true 1A game opponent. Fitzy, this kind of was blowing up in the middle of the show yesterday, and then took it to a new level or a different level with the always famous or infamous statements that are released relatively late at night. That's always an interesting situation for schools and teams and businesses to be in. So let's
isn't it, these statements, Andy, when you read these, did these not reek to you of like exactly what people who are about to get divorced say before they get divorced?
100%. Yeah, they sound committed, except they don't sound committed is the way I would.
Yeah, your mother and I love each other. Why?
Well, because you both have lawyers. But Dan Ball, so we had these comments on Twitter from our guy Ollie Connolly.
Yes.
Not Connolly Early, but Ollie Connolly.
Not Quinn Early either.
Not Quinn Early.
Yeah.
And Priester.
You read these yesterday, but I think it's important for us to kind of rewind a little bit before we have the most up-to-date information. So could you rehash yesterday's late tweets?
Yes. So from Ollie Connolly of The Guardian, he's done a lot of work in college football. We've cited him before. Per sources, Bill Belichick has discussed buyout options with North Carolina's hierarchy. Belichick has signaled a willingness to trigger his own $1 million buyout if he can find a soft landing with another team or in the media. Members of Belichick's coaching staff have already spoken to other schools that are expected to be in the college football playoff and are taking on roles during the postseason. From one coach, quote, "The rats are leaving the ship." Ironic use of rats. Some staffers believe a change will come within 2 weeks. Reports of serious recruiting violations remain under investigation at UNC. Recruiting and practice violations have already been proven by the school, according to multiple sources. Using recruit violations to knock down a coach's buyout has become a standard practice. If Belichick cannot find a landing spot to trigger his own buyout, he is expected to accept a greatly reduced compromised rate. Belichick's communication with his staff in the past 2 weeks has been described as, quote, weird and, quote, distant by multiple members of UNC's coaching staff. Multiple coaches were unable to get a hold of him during UNC's bye week. Last one from one UNC defensive assistant: "What we've done to these kids is effed up."
So before I read a little updated information from my friends at 247 Sports, or 24/7, depending how you like to say it, when Dan Ball showed me that last tweet last night, I immediately jumped to, Jamie Collins had an interesting, really biting comment about Bill Belichick. That sounds like an ex-player to me. That sounds like a new coach to me. Jamie Collins is on the staff. I assume it's not Steve or Brian Belichick, because I don't think they would talk about how they have effed things up under their father. So
probably not.
It's probably not the guy who got suspended who coaches the defensive back. So I was like, Jamie Collins is down there. And I feel like Jamie Collins, as an ex-player, would feel bad about screwing some kids. He probably still has some of that player mentality, like, these kids only have a couple years in college, and we're basically wasting one of their years. And then this from Andrew Jones. Not that Andrew Jones. Different Andrew Jones, 24/7 Sports. Quote, an injured player had his keys removed and was told he could come back in a year. He had to do rehab on his own. He was no longer a part of the program since he could not help the team on the field this fall. End quote. So Nick Fitzy-Stevens, we have all of that turmoil. We're talking buyouts. Bill might buy himself out. They're going to buy him out. They're going to fire him for cause so they don't have to pay $20 million buyouts, that whole thing. And then last night, I first saw it on the Twitter page of our buddy, Adam Schefter, who we talked to yesterday. Statements released by UNC Football with quotes from Bill Belichick and the athletic director, Bubba Cunningham. Bubba Cunningham said, quote, Coach Belichick has the full support of the Department of Athletics and University. End quote. Short statement. Bill Belichick's statement. I'm fully committed to UNC football and the program we're building there. End quote. Short statement. Do you believe a single of whatever there's a couple dozen words there? Do you believe a single one of those words, Fitzy?
The fully committed part, I do not.
He was on Nantucket. That's what Feinbaum was talking about. No one could find him. He went on vacation. No.
But I got to be honest, like with the fact that they've spent so much money and that their 2026 recruiting class is, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, as of right now, before any possible transfers or portal activities, in the top 20 in the country.
I'm glad you brought that up. Real quick aside, have you read some of this or heard some of this? The reason it's so high isn't the quality, it's the quantity. They've done that with both the last year's class.
Volume play?
Yes, because most schools have like 25 recruits and they are upwards of 39 or 40. It's like swaying their recruiting class higher than it really is. It's not like they're getting prime talent. They're just getting a lot of talent from what I've read. And I know we know nothing. I know nothing about the recruitment.
We would need to talk
business.
To so many 24/7 sports guys, collegiate heads, fine bombs of the world to get a full assessment and breakdown of their roster for next season. But that being said, like, Andy, look, we both know that starting after 2021, whether it was arguing with Jake Bailey about his squatting routine and how he should rehabilitate, all the way back to the Guerrero stuff when you had Tom Brady, and it's not like it was heart surgery or anything, through all the debacles with Patricia and Judge, icing out Mac Jones, that there were signs of bizarre king-like behavior with Belichick. I could see him struggling his first year. There is no way on God's green earth, which is covered in a lot of grass upon which football is played, that I could ever, ever, ever have imagined things would go this badly, this quickly. And oh, but didn't the world have knives and pens ready to take out and jab at and write about Bill for it?
So yesterday I said, because we had heard through one of these stories that parents were told not to approach the head coach. That would be Bill Belichick. Don't approach Bill Belichick. And I said, if I were told that and my son were a scholarship player on your team, a guy that you recruited, whether personally or impersonally, you would need security. I'd be approaching you at a high rate of speed because I've entrusted my son into you and you're telling me I don't get to talk to you. Get the hell out of here. But I take that to the next level. If I find out my kid is on your team and he got injured, and I'm assuming he got injured either playing or practicing football for you at the University of North Carolina, and you take away his keys and tell him, go away, you can't help me anymore, come back next year, go rehab on your own, I would sound like the guy in the McDonald's with Stiz. I would be attacking Bill Belichick. They're like, you want to treat my, it's one thing, professional athletes, different level, and Ted can bring some perspective to that, but you're going to treat my son like a piece of meat and just throw him to the sideline? I would definitely be borderline violent with Bill Belichick if I was the parent of that child.
Well, if you here's a question. How did anybody expect people, players, families, whomever, to be treated differently if he treated Tom Brady even after Tom had long since come to understand? Okay, I got it. Got it, Bill. The whole point of like setting an example with the other players and treating me like crap just to let them know that they're all on notice too. Got it. Thanks. I am Tom Brady. I've won you a lot of Super Bowls. Could you treat me just a little different now? If he never treated Brady any better during their playing days, then who the hell under the Tar Heel sun possibly thought he would treat anyone else down there any better?
in a world where, I don't know if you guys caught it this weekend, and I forgot his name, the Arizona State head coach, Nottingham, whatever the hell he is.
Sure. Yep. Sheriff of Nottingham.
His phone rang in the middle of his press conference, and he goes, let me check this. It's not a recruit. If it had been a recruit, I would have left this press conference to talk to this kid. Like, that's how you are treating recruiting. Like, you have to sell your soul to, and Bill's like, yeah, don't look at me, don't talk to me, don't come near me. This guy's going to leave his press conference, mid-press conference, to go talk to the kid. That's the world you live in. But I put the poll up today, and we'll get to your phone calls in a second, 617-779-7937. The poll was a simple question today at Jumbo Heart at WEEI Afternoons. Is what is happening at North Carolina damaging Bill Belichick's legacy / brand / reputation? And the two options were, nope, six rings, bitches. I added the bitches on the radio. It doesn't say that. I didn't have enough room. And obviously, disaster was the other option. Nick Fitzy Stevens, would you like to hazard a guess of how the voting is going?
A lot of people that follow you probably understand why you don't like Belichick and have, he's probably chapped their ass too. I'm going to go 54%. 54% obviously.
How about no? 77% obviously. Bill Belichick is damaging his legacy. Only 23% voted for the nope. He's got
three
six
quarters?
Rings. Yeah, he's losing his fan base. Whatever the fan base is, whatever the balance of power once was, he is losing it. And I want to get into this a little bit later with Ted to some degree. I actually think the guy that's coming out of this looking better, weirdly, is Robert Kraft. His brand nosedived after the dynasty, Robert Kraft, and then the podcast that he went on and was like,
and
yeah,
created,
I fired his ass and all that.
Created a whole wave of sympathy for Bill Belichick to a point where it culminated in like a 27-minute standing ovation at Tom Brady night.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then Bill took that and
he was like,
drove it into the ground, nosedived it from there. And I think
Jordan,
Robert,
I'm not comfortable with all this. Yeah,
I think people look at this and we're like, oh, maybe we were a little harsh on Robert. He had to deal with this a-hole for 25 years and all this crap that's going on at North Carolina. So I think Bill is absolutely damaging his reputation, legacy, whatever you want to call it. He's still the most accomplished coach in NFL history, but the reputation is altered. And I think Robert Kraft is enjoying a little bit of a rebound for his reputation. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Bridgewater, where our guy Tony wants to check in. What's up, Tony?
Hey, you guys. You guys know I like you, but you got to start with the Bill bashing. I mean, I'm telling you.
You don't like facts?
For 20 years, I think it's the most ridiculous thing in the world.
What, facts?
Let me tell you something. What?
You don't like facts? We're just relaying the facts out of North Carolina.
No, you're not relaying the facts, Andy. You're what? Not. You said about this kid who lost the scholarship and he told him to come back. How do you know that kid wasn't in a fist fight in a bar or something? So you're assuming the kid got hurt playing football and they shoved him out the door. You're not stating facts. This guy gave us 20 years. My father passed away a couple of years ago from dementia. I don't remember those last 2 years. He was a great guy, and I remember that stuff. And a little thing that, you know, you guys would split the Super Bowl with Brady and stuff. Brady would have won three. Belichick would have won three. Those two L.A. Rams victories in the Super Bowl, that was defense. That was Belichick. Stop bashing the guy.
All right, thanks for the call, Tony. You're right. I did not bring up the hypothetical made-up idea that he was in a bar fight and that's how he got hurt. You're right. I should not assume that it was football.
Obviously that's not the case, but there is, Andy, we are basing everything that we're getting, and listen, there's no way to do anything outside of us actually getting, I don't know what kind of accredited source would ultimately drop the hammer of truth on this to a point where even people that want to defend Bill to the hilt, I mean, I'm in the gray in the middle, caught in that like landslide of appreciation for everything he did, but the frustration over the way he behaved and composed himself on the way out the door and what a mess this is. The fact is, if at any point, and I know this is not on his brand, so obviously I'm just, you know, absolutely blanking in the wind on this one, but like if he had ever showed the kind of, I won't say contrition, but just like humility that would go part and parcel with, okay, so maybe I made a couple of mistakes, not writing a 400-page book on coaching and calling out like mistakes that people didn't even remember, then that probably would have bought him a little extra amnesty on top of all the great wins, the brilliant schemes, and the game plan. So there's a reason why people are coming after him at this point. I'm not as excited as I know a lot of people are that he's in the throes of all of this crap show right now. But, you know, I get both sides. God, it just sucks. It really does. It really sucks watching the undoing of a legend.
617-779-7937. Let's go to Dom in Southborough. He wants to yell at me, I think. What's up, Dom?
Say, Andy, how you doing? I don't want to yell at you. I'm a big UNC fan, big Patriots fan. I don't agree with what Bill Belichick's doing, but you said that UNC's two wins were FCS opponents, but they beat Charlotte, who's not an FCS opponent. They are Division I-A, so I'd like to correct you on that, but I really don't like what Belichick's doing.
All right, thanks for the call, Dom.
We got that. Thank you, Dom.
It's a little disappointing. Now we're taking victory laps for that Charlotte win, the one that Mack Brown, I believe, also blew out last year. 617-779-7937. We'll continue to take the phone calls. Do you want us to bash Bill? Are we bashing Bill? Should we stop bashing Bill? Do you not care about the biggest story in New England sports, in professional sports, in college sports, in all of sports? Bill Belichick under fire. Do you think he gets fired? We'll talk about that next here on WEEI Afternoons.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns
You know
Browns
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
How much money changes hands and in which direction does it go when it finally ends? I feel like that's where this is headed. And those companion statements that came out at 9:36 p.m. Eastern last night, like if you hadn't been paying attention to all the reports that are out there and you just happen to open your Twitter and you're a North Carolina fan and you see that the next post since the one about Drake May that they were shamed into making on Monday is this statement that Bill Belichick's committed to the team, and then the statement from Bubba Cunningham, the AD, the team is committed to him. It's like, why are we doing this?
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, putting a nice spin. And this is a area where I think he's pretty well informed because he makes his life with football rumors. He's a lawyer. He kind of is a, you know, muckraker, so to speak. Like, this is definitely a great story for
Are you
for Mike
kidding?
Florio.
This is more delicious to him than the smoke shop food that's going to be dropped in studio for you guys later
Not
today.
Possible. Not possible. There is nothing more delicious than the smoke shop barbecue. I am looking forward to it.
Oh, no. This is like, you're going to experience this momentarily when you get into the ribs and you're like, oh, my God, is that like a burnt end and some sauce under my fingernail? And you just get in there. It is the best. I've been thinking the whole time, like, of all the people that are kind of like basking in this or just rolling around like a pig in slop, who's having the most pig in slopperific week? Oh, Florio, of course.
Yeah, Florio's up there. I mean, there's probably some other candidates that we could spitball a little bit later, but I want to get back to the phone lines. They are lit up. 617-779-7937. Tony in Bridgewater said, stop bashing Bill Belichick. Well, Marcus in Roxbury has a counterpoint. What's up, Marcus?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking the call. For 20 years, we've been listening to this guy continually just be so nasty to us as listeners, viewers, radio hosts, and everything. What goes up comes down. So, you know, he brought it on himself. So you guys are doing the right thing. Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks for the call, Marcus. Wow. I don't know if we're doing the right thing or the wrong thing. We're kind of just dealing with a massive sports story, a massive Boston sports story. And this has also, Fitzy, I keep talking about it, although I don't know that I can blame Jordan anymore. I keep saying she's brought in sort of the casual fan or the TMZ social media crowd. Now Bill's doing a fine enough job of making this story non-football enough. When you bring in parents and injuries and like these sexy kind of little tweets about information, this is no longer really about football and recruiting. It's about a culture and the way he's leading down there. Like, this is an organizational teardown, and Bill Belichick is the head of that organization.
Yeah, that's if this all bears out to be true, man, it would be so disappointing. Like, Ted explained to us yesterday, and we could go further down this wormhole if we needed to, but I think we kind of all just understand now that with the proliferation of college football, clearly as America's second favorite sport, at times even almost nipping at the heels of the NFL, has come the NIL movement, has come all the merchandising. It's massive, and it requires so much more work. And if Bill potentially walked into this thinking it would be so much easier, like, hey, I can pull eight rings into the bay, I'll tell everybody that I won the six, and that they'll all just sort of come to me, and he didn't have to put in the work, then it was a gross underestimation of the commitment he needed to make. Like, it's just, right. Andy, the only word is beyond disappointing is ugly. Like, this is an ugly falling apart. Like, it's decaying around him, and it's, I wonder if he's fully aware of just how everyone feels. And do you think he even gives an F?
He probably tries not to give an F, because I think he generally lives his life that way. Like, I'm above it all. Like, if you don't get me, then you don't get it kind of mentality. I think that he has. But he is one of the highest paid college football coaches in America. He's one of a few guys at $10 million a year. I read it the other day. There's like a handful. It might be four or five guys. So he has six rings. Or eight rings, if you want to use his counting measures. And he's 73. He's got the girl. Like, there's so many layers of this that make it the biggest story in America. And it is falling apart faster than anyone could have envisioned. I think even the most negative of person thought he'll be one and done at North Carolina. It'll go really poorly. It's just not going to work. He's too old. He'll finish the season and he'll be done. Now it's like, is he going to be five and done? Is he not going to make it from Nantucket this bye week back to the Cal game? That is what's being bandied about in Carolina. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Manny in the car. What's up, Manny?
Hey, boys. Long time. First time. Thank you for taking the call.
Thank you for making the call.
You know, I've been following the Patriots my whole life. I'm only 35, but it's kind of sad to see Bill. He's doing it to himself, really. You know, I can't really put it on, like you said, Jordan. It's not her fault anymore. She's not the one doing the football calls or that. Like, nope. He's the one. Not, you know what I mean? Everything from the Philadelphia Eagles Super Bowl, it started from there, I feel like. The whole Malcolm Butler issue. I hate to see the man go down like this, but he's doing it to himself. And I'm not disagreeing with the bashing. He kind of deserves it. But, I mean, what can you do at this point? He's 73. You ain't going to change the man.
All right, thanks for the call, Manny. I agree, and I think North Carolina is realizing that. I'm not sure they realized what they were getting themselves into last December when they decided Bill Belichick was the best option. Also, what an overcorrection. I don't know Mac Brown, but everybody seems to say Mac Brown is like your grandfather. Like, everybody loves him. You come into his office, he's the greatest guy, help you with anything, and you bring in Bill Belichick to follow that up, and you don't even bring in a young a-hole. It'd be one thing if you brought in a 30-year-old a-hole, right? Like the Sean McVay a-hole. You brought
the McVay hole, yeah.
Right. You brought in an old a-hole to follow an old nice guy, and you went from a 500 football team to a sub-500 football team. Stiz, I don't know if you noted, they updated the win total for UNC. The over-under in Vegas is now 3.5. 3.5 expected wins for your Tar Heels this year, Stiz.
Hey, you know who else got fired before the season was over? Mac Brown last year, fired with one game to go.
No, he didn't. He got fired after the regular season. Somebody else coached the bowl game. That's how it works in college football a lot. Because there was speculation, would Bill Belichick be there? So it's a little bit different.
Well, game's a game. There goes Andy arguing semantics.
You are grasping at straws, Stiz.
Yeah, they're
you
not
are
2-3. They're 0-3. Those two wins don't count,
Stiz.
Peter Traeger.
Did anyone think this was really going to be only one season, though?
Oh, I did. I thought this would be one and done. I definitely thought.
And what
this
was North Carolina's real, like, was North Carolina's real hope that Bill would work 3-4 years, like, establish a premier program and then pass the baton to Steve, and then Steve would help make this Clemson like, if not SEC worthy? Like, boy, that was a hell of a want.
If you believe all the puzzle pieces, they wanted him to bring some prestige to the program, bring some wins, pass it to Steve, pave a path to the SEC, and everybody's happy. All of a sudden, UNC is in the SEC, and they're a football team, and Belichick leaves, and Steve's there. It's all great, except it's all terrible. It's all falling apart, and he could get fired before next week. 617-779-7937. We'll continue to take your phone calls on this Bill Belichick situation down at UNC, but up next, it is 3 o'clock. Ted Johnson's rolling on in. Fitzy's here. I'm here. It's time for the three-point stance.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.